It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
You know, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor, back in the studio.
Lee, good morning. How are you? It's been a while since last
week.
Haven't seen you.
Well, we've been talking on the phone more. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, are you, should I not call you anymore?
I don't know. You can call me.
You like it better when I didn't call you?
Look, I like to mix things up. You can call.
I thought you liked just to talk more on the air and less in private.
Well, that's usually what happens.
You like that? That's the way you like to roll?
You know, whatever keeps it fresh.
Hey, Lee, I want to send it, before we start the show today, I want to send a shout out to, I get a lot of Twitter responses from my friend Karen, and she's at Lyle's wife. I guess she's Lyle's wife.
And whoever Lyle is. Do
right.
You know who that is?
I don't know who Lyle is, but I'm sure he's a nice guy. But I want to say hi, Karen. Thanks for always following us and sending me messages. She had a question in regards to kettlebells. She wanted to know this morning if I use kettlebells, and it kind of spurned something I wanted to talk about with this kettlebells. You know, look, I when it comes to fitness, you know, even if it was like dressing you up as a pig and somebody chasing you, that's kind of fitnessy, right? That's a fitness-related thing. I don't have any problem with that. If it means that you're going to be running more, someone's going to be out there chasing you, I like that.
So you're pro kettlebell.
Well, here's what I'm pro. I'm pro mixing it up, changing things up. But the thing that I want to get away from is this concept of, oh, the kettlebells are much better than anything else.
Than regular bells?
It targets the muscles in a way that the strength training equipment just can't do. You know that whole whole baloney concept of like this is better than that, and you're going to get quicker, faster results. You're going to burn inches, you know, from the kettlebells. You call the kettlebell a jug of water. How is that a kettlebell?
Yes.
A jug of water, is that a kettlebell?
A gallon of milk
is a kettlebell. Right. Kettlebell workouts with milk cartons and stuff like that.
Yes.
So look, you want to bend down, you want to swing it up and down a little bit. I have no problem with it. But the main thing is that you want to try to do things that are going to keep you compliant to exercise forever, for as long as you can. And if it means doing kettlebells, great, do kettlebells. But don't be doing kettlebells because somebody sold you on kettlebells that it's the end-all, be-all of workouts. And I know that Karen knows this, and I know she's looking for things just to change up. But I know that there's plenty of listeners out there that are like, oh, I got to just do this or I got to just do that. Like, look, I love to run, okay? I know I have to change up. If I wanted to optimize my running and get faster, I would have to do different workouts, intervals, speed workouts, all different kinds. I just love to run. I love getting out there. I love just putting on a pair of shoes and getting out there. I don't necessarily need to, run a 5-minute mile anymore. Right? I'm not a professional athlete anymore.
Well, you would like to be able to.
I would like to be able to do that.
You know, if push came to shove, you would rather run 5 than 8.
You know, there was a recent study.
What do you
study.
Run now?
What's the speed that I run now?
Yeah.
8.5. So about
8.5.
I have gone when we were at Fit Blogging, I went down to 7.5.
Oh,
I hadn't been that.
Pressure was on.
Well, look, somebody was pushing it a little bit. So I'm like, I'm not going
to
be last to
keep
in this
up.
Thing. But it's been a long time since I've been under, I've been going to the track though more and more frequently.
So you're going for 6? You think you can do a 6?
I think I can still do a 6, but I will tell you this, it's going to take some work.
What's the fastest you ever ran?
5:03.
So if knowing you as well as I do, you got that score and sure you were pleased, that was fast, but you were like, I came so close to 4-something. 4:59 is about a million times better than 5:01. Am I right?
It's
in your head.
No, but
4:59 is 4-something.
Okay.
5:03 is the same as 5:59 your head.
Well, here's the deal. I ran that was back in high school. Okay. So we're talking a long time ago, and it was one of those 5-mile races and a 1-mile fun run. And the 1 mile fun run, I decided I'm just gonna do the mile, and also I'll do the five. And I actually won the 1 mile. You know, I came in first, but I felt like I was flying. So I don't know if I can go any. I didn't think I could go any faster than that. So I think that was an
3 seconds, dude. That was a misstep.
I don't know.
One stumble, you would have been 4.
I don't know, but that was for me. That was pretty darn quick. But the funny thing is that, you know, when it comes to people that run that were running in high school, that were running really fast, like 4:29. That was
really.
Yeah,
you had kids in the fours.
Well, those were people that were on the track team that were running, that were competing. That was, you know, so 30 seconds. I don't.
Well, no, but
I didn't have 30. There was no. That was me.
If you would have been in the fours, you would have been very happy.
But tapping out at 5:09, knowing that somebody can run.
So now it's 5:09.
I mean 5:03.
I now believe it's 5:09.
No, it wasn't.
That's why you weren't upset, because you were nowhere near the 5:03.
No, I was close. I was closely. So, getting back, so going to the track and running at the track is a great way of breaking things up and getting out there and doing that as well. But I just love
how many laps around the track could you do without shooting yourself in the head?
That's a good question.
Four.
I don't go more.
Don't you lose track after a while?
You know, well, I have a secret tactic. You don't lose track.
Okay, go ahead.
They're typically the lanes are usually numbered, yes. Right? 1 through 6. So what I do
I'll
is...
I'll take your word for it.
Well, they are. They're labeled 1 through 6. So the closest lane is number 1, all the way out to the furthest
one. I know,
but
that's also the shortest distance.
Exactly. So what I do
I stay on number 1.
No, this is what I do. So I don't have to worry about counting.
Right.
I start off at 4. Every time I go around, I move closer in.
Oh, nice. So
that's
you
it.
Run a mile.
That's if I just do 1 mile. Right. And then I do this... You know, I'll do the same or I'll do more. But
so you don't start at 1 and go to 4. So there's some psychological reason for doing this.
Right. I go to start at 4 and go down. Right. But anyway, but here's the deal. If I'm going to the track, I never do less than a 2 mile, like, run around the track. And then I'll do sprints and stuff. And the reason being is that 2 miles is easy. I mean, when I say 2 miles, it's like if I'm jogging 2 miles, the first mile is a warm up, right?
Easy. For me, that's a workout, but for you,
it's a warm-up. I'm four laps in, I'm warming up, and then I go, okay, I'll just do another mile, and then I'm like, I just added 2 miles to my workout.
Right.
Right? And then I'm going to do some sprints and stuff
and
like
that. And what sprint, is it a quarter-mile sprint, or it's like a 40-yard dash?
No, it's the whole lap.
Again, that's where I differ.
Let me tell you something.
I like shuttle run distances.
Let me tell you something. Since I haven't run sprints in a long time, doing those 400s, because that's 400 meters, that is...
To
you separate the men from the boys with that end of that, when you're coming around the track at that last turn. So there's a couple of ways you can skin the cat on this one. Number one, you can go all out and just see how fast you can go and usually pooping out towards the end. Or you can kind of pace yourself and try to have a little bit of gas towards the end of the lap.
Right.
I tend to put it all out.
So then and three quarters in, you're like, you can't breathe and you're
right,
hyperventilating.
Right, exactly. And when I hit the end of that lap, I'm like, yeah. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like that feeling when you're gassed out. There is nothing
now,
like
how
that.
How long does it take you to recover to do something else?
Seconds.
Seconds?
Yeah.
Really? It takes
30
me
seconds.
Like the rest of the weekend.
30 seconds, and I'll come around do that and repeat it and do it again.
How many?
I've done so far, the most I've done is about 6 repeats of 400s.
400?
But I typically do between 3 and 4.
Wow.
So I'll do another mile just in those.
And then
I'll do push-ups. I'll go to the side. I'll do push-ups.
Man.
And
that's why you're Dr. Fitness.
Well, this.
You take this seriously.
I tweeted about this today. I don't know if it went through, but I tweeted about this. And it's really.
Is Twitter blocking you?
No, I tweeted
Why
about this concept.
Through?
I wrote this morning. I tweeted that I'm like a little slice of heaven. Just about to go out and do my road work. Little slice of heaven. How sad is that?
It's pretty.
You
sad,
know,
but,
if that's my slice of heaven, running. Come on, you're kidding me. Running. That's how I get my joy. But that's
you
how
do.
I do it. That's how
that's
I do
true.
It. I don't know. It's a true statement. So,
how are you handling the Clarence Clemens situation?
Yeah, it was a rough week for me. Rough week to learn, first of all, late Sunday that the saxophone player for the E Street Band, my favorite band,
had a stroke. And at first it looked, there were reports of that the entire band was flying down to Florida where he lives at Singer Island. And because they were, didn't think he was going to pull through. And so now he's, the report is that he's doing much, much better. However, of course, the first thing I thought of is that I've seen the big man play the last time on stage, you know, because how many people can come back from a stroke, you know, and have the same dexterity and play the saxophone? I don't know. Can that happen? Is that something that
I
can?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that, I don't think so either. So I'm really happy that the big man is.
So somehow you made it about you.
I did.
That was good.
Right, it hurt. I'm like,
it affected you.
This affected me in a personal level. I'm like, this is really, you know, unfortunately, in I think it was 2009, they Danny Federici, their organ player, passed away from skin cancer.
A lot of nerve. That guy betrayed you.
And the
and
big
now
man.
Clarence.
Well, look, Clarence is iconic. He has that iconic picture on the cover of Born to Run, standing next to Bruce Springsteen. It's that classic pose, you know, that's an indelible image that will never be, you'll have that for the rest of my life. So not see him on stage, even though he's had failing health for a while, but you know, I'm glad to hear he's feeling a lot better, and I wish him a speedy recovery. I also tweeted about that. That was another thing that, you know, a lot of people wishing the big man to get better. The other thing, Lee, is I actually had another, sad thing occur on a personal level, is that a friend of mine from high school had passed on as well from cancer. And the sad thing about this is that we had reconnected. I hadn't spoken to him in a while, and he emailed me. He actually was a fan of ours, of our show. And he had emailed me about a year ago and tell me that he got into running, and he was running, and you know, but he was recovering from cancer, and it seemed like things were really going a lot better. So, you know, it was just kind of hit me all of a sudden that he passed away. So, I guess
so
I'm going to
lost a fan. Now this affects me.
It affects
this now affects
right.
me.
So this show is dedicated to my buddy John.
Now we
Cifelli.
Need another. You're dedicating a show
yep.
to someone.
I am John Cifelli.
This is the first time a show has been dedicated to somebody.
No, I think we dedicated another show. We had another friend
for
that passed
Jack
away.
Elaine?
No, we did. We had Jack Elaine pass away. But I will tell a funny story that happened. Now, John, my friend John, he was an all-state soccer player. And he used to come to my tennis matches. I used to go watch him play soccer. And we had a good soccer team as well as we had a good tennis team. And there was a story that had just been written about me in the local paper. And I had called him up one night. And I was...
To brag about this?
No. Yeah. I called him up. And I was posing as the reporter for the newspaper.
Like,
as the
like
as
now it's his turn to be written out.
and I proceeded to do about a half hour interview, interviewing him about his soccer playing and himself and all this stuff. And it was actually hysterical. And
for you,
for me,
and humiliating
was,
for him.
He was
beautiful.
He was quite pissed off at me, but he actually, when he simmered down, he actually thought it was hysterical, and that was one of the highlights of our high school careers. And we would actually, when I reconnected with him, we talked about that and how funny it was, and so he had two young daughters and a beautiful wife, and he was great. I wish I would have gotten a chance to play soccer with him now, because it wasn't until recently that I picked up playing soccer. But anyway, that was what took place. And I also want to tell you, Lee, that I did something that was really fun this past weekend. I went jet skiing over at Lake Lanier. Remember last week I told you I would go paddle boarding? I did that. This week I did jet skiing. I rented one for 4 hours.
Yeah, any injuries? Get hit by a boat like last
no,
time?
No, it was real calm. It was really nice. It was, but I will tell you, the one thing you want to look...
What's better, paddleboarding, jet skiing? You
got
to compare them
head
to head.
Jet skiing is not even is in another category. It's so much fun. The lake was so calm. It was beautiful. But I will tell you this. When you are renting a jet ski, a couple of things to check for is if your speedometer is working before you take it out. That's a thing you want to check. And also if the tape... The electrical tape that they have on the side of the where it's been banged up a little bit, make sure it's connected. It's not coming
what
off.
What do you mean? Why, they ding you for that? Like you?
Well, there's a little
it?
Bit of electrical tape. You want to make sure that, or just make sure that there's no. If there's a choice of
of jet skis to choose from. If there's one with electrical tape on it, choose the one without the electrical tape.
A non-damaged
one? Yes, a non-damaged. Well, they circle. They tell you where it's damaged. But I will tell you, you know, I've been out on Lake Lanier many, many times and rented jet skis my whole life. And I haven't been out in about 3 years. And I took one out for about 4 hours. And it was so calm and so smooth. I went so far.
So you went by yourself?
I went by myself.
So you abandoned your family
to go
jet skiing by yourself?
My family is in Florida. I was by myself. And I want to take full advantage of this opportunity of being by myself. I had a buddy that was supposed to go with me. He bailed out in the last second. So I'm like,
you don't invite me to this. You invite me to paddleboarding, but you don't invite me to jet skiing.
It was on a Friday at 10 o'clock.
Of course, Mr. Man of Leisure, Friday at 10.
Listen, if I know you and I know your work ethic, there's no way I can pull you away from the studio.
I couldn't do it.
There's no way. There's no way. You can't do that. So, but this is what happened to me, and I know I want to get to the, I want to get to our first guest, but I want to tell you what happened. The lake was so calm and so smooth that I went further and further and I went to a place I had never been to on this lake, because Lake Lanier is the biggest man-made.
Right, it's huge.
It's humongous, 55 miles in length. I was out there. Literally, I probably got about 20 miles from where I started.
Wow. And how much gas is in there?
No, well, let me tell you what happened. Yeah, that's what. So finally, I'm driving, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's one of those digital, like the bars.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I got plenty of gas. All of a sudden, I look down. I'm like, I don't have plenty of gas. Like, all of a sudden, it went from
where
a lot of gas.
Where do you get gas?
Well, you have to bring it back to the marina. That's one place.
But you have they to make it back.
They didn't. That was the one thing they didn't tell me. They said, "Listen, if
do
you have a problem,
AAA for jet skis."
Well, let me tell you what happened. So I went so far, and I'm like, you know what? I better turn around because I don't know if I'm going to make it back.
Right.
And I'd been on the lake before, so I knew where there was one other marina where I can possibly get gas, but I didn't know what the procedure was. Like, do I go there?
Do you even have a credit card with you?
Well, I took my wallet and I took my phone in a plastic bag.
Right.
Just as an emergency. Now, this is the difference between Dr. Fitness now and Dr. Fitness prior to being married. The old Dr. Fitness would have been
had
like
those things.
I would have had those things. But now I know it would have been like if my wife, if something happened to me on that lake and she couldn't get a hold of me, I would have paid hell for that. So anyway, so I started coming back. And I got disoriented.
It's hard to believe.
And I started to get, you know, I was fine until one area. I was all the way back until one area. And I'm like, oh, do I make a right there? Or do I go a little further? And I'm like, and now I'm down to one bar. Bar. And I'm like,
and
so
you know,
now
your people have a history of being lost for a long time.
My people.
Could have been 40 years on that lake.
Right. So I finally say, okay, look, I'm like, maybe I just turned one turn wrong. So I'm like, do I gamble and go make that turn over there? I know for sure there's a marina on the other side that I'll go to. I gambled.
I knew it.
I gambled. I did gamble. I took the throttle down. I gambled and I made it back. Whew. I did
what
it.
What a great story.
But no, listen, I called them because once I knew I was lost, I called them. I called the marina. I said, listen, what happens? I'm a little bit disoriented. And I went by a marker on the lake because they have markers. I'm like, I'm by SR7. And this is when you know you have a problem. When the guy goes, where is that?
Great.
That's never a good sign.
And
never
that's their business.
Right. Never a good sign. I'm like, well, what happens if he goes, oh, don't worry. We'll come get you. Don't worry about it. If you run out of gas, it's not a problem. We'll come get you. I'm like, oh.
Really?
Well, it sounded like I only have X amount of time on the lake. If you run out of gas, that's part of your time. That's what it sounded like to me. So I'm like, I mean, that's why I shot for getting some more gas and getting back to the marina. And then
so
everything worked out.
And you didn't even have to fill up the tank because you made it back.
I made it back. Well, I definitely had to fill it up because I had another hour left.
Oh, so you had to fill it up and then
go out again. So I did that. And all is well. I had a great time. I will tell you, I had so much fun that my wife and my daughter's going to sleepaway camp this weekend. I'm taking them both out tomorrow night. So if you want to join us tomorrow night with Max and Abby.
You missed your chance.
You don't want to do that?
No.
All right. So that's my story. Make sure you check out Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy at drfitnessthefatguy.com. Become one of our friends. We are getting so many friends right now. You may not even.
They're coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
We're able to have more, even though some of them are dying. That's how popular.
I know.
Becoming.
I know some of our friends are dying, but I'm telling you, we may have so many friends soon that you may not be able to become one of our friends.
Yeah, we're going to cut it off, aren't we?
We're going to cut it off. Yeah. At some point, we will. go to our website, become one of our Facebook friends, go to Twitter, follow us at Dr. Fitness 6. You can tell how quickly I adopted Twitter, and at Fat Guy
Zero.
Right, there's no number next to Fat Guy. Okay, let's bring on our guest today. We're excited to bring on our show today. We have with us Jeff Graves. And Jeff is the director, the leader, the king. He is everything when it comes to Mudathlon. The Mudathlon series is going on. It's starting in the end of June, going throughout, what? I think we're going through September now? Is that right, Lee?
I don't know.
I know. They're great events. It's exercise. It involves beer. It involves mud. What else, Jeff, does it involve?
Well, a mucking good time, of course.
A mucking good time. I like that.
A mucking good time. Lots of obstacles. 40 different obstacles, and I can tell you the guys have been out there building some incredible new ones. I went out the other day, and there's one they've built that is it's a cargo net climb. But, you know, cargo net climb, maybe go up 10 feet or so. Well, this one's going up 14 to 15 foot. And then you got to swing your leg over the top and come back down the other side. So I go climbing up there, and I'm a little afraid of heights. I got stuck on top. I didn't want to swing my leg over. So it's going to – we've got some good challenging new obstacles. We've got a monkey bar set that's going to be 35 foot long of monkey bars, and you don't make it, you're dropping into a pit of mud. So then you get your 100-yard long mud pit. You get your 30-foot slides, and then some we have 120-foot slides. So it's a 3 to 4 mile run with 40 different obstacles.
Hey, Jeff, can you do us a favor and call right back? We're getting a bad connection. You're cutting in.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of static. Let's call us right back, Jeff.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
We're going back to our board here. We're going back to our technical soundboard, fixing this thing up. Man,
you know that's how we roll here.
Well, you know,
I just look. Our product's too good. We cannot just allow that to happen.
People listening to the show, all of a sudden they're on their treadmill, they're running. All of a sudden, we don't want them going with their headphones, going, "What the hell is going on with my iPod here?" You know, so we got to make sure that everything is working perfectly for our fans, our listeners. We're getting Jeff back on the phone right now. We got him.
Jeff, are you there?
Is that better?
Oh, yes, much I'm better. Here. Oh, it's okay. Like night and day.
Okay, good.
So now you've got now this is what we learned so far, Jeff.
There's monkey bars,
and you're afraid of. We've learned that you're afraid of heights.
Yeah.
But it did not impede you from actually doing it. Fear is not a factor for you. You scaled this and you did it.
Absolutely, and that's what we hope. You know, we make the course doable for anybody, but challenging for hopefully everybody.
Now, is it true that nuclear waste is going to be a part of the future? You're going to do some nuclear stuff and some fire.
No nuclear waste, no fire. We'll let other people play in those type of pits of nastiness, but we'll concentrate to just big old mud pits, 100-yard long pits, and
I like
our fun slides. We really have some incredible hills that will just water down, and you'll have to use ropes to get up. Lots of going through the creeks, and lots of tunnels, lots of tires, lots of walls. But it's all me. Just have a good time and try something a little different.
What about fake insects, like the big, like really big snakes, stuff like that, like anacondas, like anything you're going to do like that? Because that, I guarantee you, that'll add another dimension, Jeff, to this thing that people will, you know, they'll remember that.
You know, I don't think we really need any fake insects or snakes. Because you're kind of out there in the wild, and you just don't know what
you don't know what's out there. Right now,
you don't know what's up out there. Is exactly right.
Now, the first event is going to be is it taking place in Indianapolis? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's in Indianapolis coming up here on June 23rd or now, June 25th. Excuse me.
And we know that there's a series of them, and they're throughout Indianapolis, Chicago. They're in Ohio. Coming up in Wisconsin, is that correct?
Yep. Right now, we have the Indianapolis one on June 25th, and we go up to the Chicagoland event on July 23rd. Then we are over in Cincinnati on August 13th, and then up in the Cleveland area, just east of Cleveland, on September 17th. We're still trying to get our Wisconsin date. That may fall till next year. But for sure right now, there are four Mudathlons on the books and currently registering people for all four of those.
Now, what goes into putting on an event like that? Because that seems... It seems like this is a lot more than like if you're doing a 5K or a 10K race. This seems to be a lot more involved.
Absolutely. What's so different about this is that literally it's all off-road. You know, some were at paintball facilities, some were at farms, some were at rock quarries. We're all in different places. So you're dealing with, you know, what the land gives you. And we are building these obstacles, so they are large obstacles out there we're building, and a lot of times tough areas to get back to with our equipment to build it, to lay out the course, and it's something we've got to completely mark the course and put marking tape all along so no one gets lost out there and they stay on the route. So it is a lot more work. It's all the logistics of trying to figure out, okay, where are you going to get your water sources? If we have dry weather, we need mud. How are we going to get water back to certain areas? And then when they do finish and everybody's completely muddy, how are we going to do showers out in the middle of nowhere? So
right.
Lots of different things to think about that at a typical 5K we don't have to worry about.
Now, is this event for like 20-year-olds? Is this for families? Is it for
mostly
teenagers?
I would think mostly the elderly, right, Jeff? At least 65 and above.
That's exactly who we're targeting. You know, when we started this, we really thought it was going to be like a 20 to 24-year-old age group, and we were, you know, surprisingly wrong. That the average age is a 33-year-old. It's 50-50, male female. It is something that anyone 14 or over can do. So we are seeing a lot of families coming out with their teenage kids, their college kids, and doing it as an activity. Because it is something that you can do as a team, work together. When you come to some of these obstacles, 8-foot walls, you need somebody to help you push over or pull, have them, once they get over to help you over. So it is something for everyone. We've got 70-year-old people registered for the race that want to go out and, be kids again, and that's great.
Right. Now, is there any sort of I'm assuming, Jeff, that there might be an issue with a tire, especially for some of the bigger men, with their man boobs that might pop out. Do you have any a tire that they have to wear, or especially for the women,
maybe
too?
Do you grease them up?
Yeah, anything that that they have to.
We encourage people to be creative in their attire.
Very nice.
We've had some pretty wacky, we've had bridal parties that have been, pretty scantily clad, and we've had some big men just jiggling and jostling out there on the course. as long as people are having fun, that's all that matters.
Is it PG-13 or R?
I would say the race is basically a PG-13. The parking lot afterwards is R. Because people have no problems.
Right. Well, that's when the beer comes in, right?
When the beer.
Right. That's the end. That's the bounty. That's what you get when you finish this. Now, is it a standardized course in terms of the length and in terms of...
No.
So every course is different.
Every course is absolutely unique to its environment and its distance. We're not worried if it's a 5K or if it's 3.72 miles. We could care less, just so we can come up with a fun course. What's so different about this compared to your typical 5K is, at a 5K, everybody goes off at one time. Well, with this, we set off every 15 minutes starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. We send off another 75 to 100 people at a time, and we keep doing that all day long. So when people do come to an obstacle, being that there's 40 of them, you're not running very long before you hit your next obstacle.
Right.
So when they come to them, they can actually do them, and they're not waiting forever in line.
Now that sounded like a learning curve right there. That sounded like at some point they must have all started together, and you're like, wait a minute, someone's going to get killed.
It was a learning curve from watching other people's events and right. Seeing, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. That especially when you're scaling and climbing things, you don't want somebody falling on top of you.
Are the fans allowed to like throw mud at the participants?
I would think so.
Absolutely. And afterwards, we have tug of war, and you can throw mud at the fans.
Oh, I like that.
We encourage that. When we encourage people to wear old clothes and duct tape their shoes down, because that mud will literally suck their shoes right off their feet. You know, wear weightlifting gloves or biking gloves to protect their hands when they're, climbing up cargo nets and ropes and crawling on their hands in different parts. So, it really tests everybody. And when they're done, they're like, wow, that was really a neat experience.
Jeff, I hope you have a great skincare sponsor, because, with all this mud, which is a great exfoliant, I'm sure that you can get some heck of a sponsorship with that. That sounds like a great idea.
That's what we tell the ladies all the time. You go and you get all these mud baths and everything.
Yeah.
It's just part of the event.
Right.
You get exercise, you get your mud bath.
It's a spa treatment.
It's a spa. It's like a spa. That sounds great. Now, this sounds like you have a bunch laid out for the summer. Is there anything planned for the wintertime as well, or is it just because it gets a little colder, it's hard to do this stuff in the wintertime?
We've kind of focused here in the Midwest. We don't have anything on the docket for the winter, but we definitely are starting to look at sites down south to start doing a year-round calendar with these events. They do take a lot of time to produce, and it takes a lot of time to find the right site, the landowner that is comfortable with 3,000 people coming on his property, tearing it up and making mud pits and all that. Takes the right individual to think that's a neat thing.
Right. This sounds like a great event that would be great at Woodstock.
I think that's where it started.
It would be perfect.
Yaskers Farm. Woodstock, I think we can go up there. That sounds like a great time that would be happening there. Now, Jeff, when it comes to training for the Mudathlon, what would you recommend people do? Is there meetups? Are there people that are getting together? How do you go about training for an event like this?
What we find is best if you just run through your neighborhood, hop over your neighbor's fence, crawl through their pool, get chased by their dog. That's awesome training right there for it. But we do have
I like that.
Boot camps are great. Anybody who's in any kind of boot camp activity is good. In Cincinnati, we actually have a Mudathlon training group. I think there's 50 folks right now that are training, and they're doing boot camp stuff. And in all seriousness, they are going to playgrounds and doing the monkey bars there and practicing on those type of things to prepare, because you're going to use every part of your body, every muscle, to get yourself through this course.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody that when you've done one of them, are there people that are planning on this sounds like a destination, like a thing you've got to do. Are a lot of people doing all of the events, like going to one and then going, we're going to do the whole series?
Last year was our first year with it, and we had two events, and we had probably about 250 people that did both of them. This year, I haven't even looked to see what our duplications are over the events, but that's something I'll start to look at. Yeah, we definitely encourage that people come to each one of them, because, like I said, each course is its unique own event. So if you've done one, that doesn't mean you've done them all by any means. Everyone, like the Valpo, the Chicagoland one, actually has a 120-foot slide. That alone is worth the price of admission to go down that slide into the mud pit.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Now, is there prize money, or is there what do you win? Is there a trophy that you get when you do this thing?
What we do is it is a timed event. Some people are into it being timed. Others could care less and take all the time they want out there. So prizes we do the top three male and female winners, but obviously we can't even figure that out until the event's 100% over, because somebody in a later time division or later start time could be the fastest one out on the course. We also do teams, and teams get they get to pick four people off their team, and we put their aggregate times together and do team awards. We do best costume. We also do a 911 challenge where anyone who is a badge carrying person, fireman, policeman, park ranger, whatever it may be, we do a competition between those folks. So we do have a lot of different awards that are given out. No cash prizes. We give out big beer chalices and cowboy hats and gift certificates to running stores and things like that. We try and just have fun with it.
Yeah, that the thing I was going to say is that the thing I love about the whole event is that it's based upon fun, and it seems like there's definitely a movement of people who are definitely interested in doing events like these. We see them popping up all the time. Mudathlon's a great one where you're going out there and it's not your typical 5K or 10K weekend run. It's you're doing other things. This seems like this is a trend that's only going to get bigger.
Absolutely. These type of things are popping up everywhere, and they all have a little different feel to them. But, you know, you do get the exercise. You're outside. But when you finish, we've got the bands playing. We've got the beer flowing. We do a cookout. Everybody gets a beer mug, a bandana, a temporary tattoo. They get their T-shirt. They get their medal. And everyone's just hanging out, having fun, and talking about their experience and, you know, how they got stuck on this wall, or like me, got stuck on top of the cargo net or whatnot. And, you know. So it is, as I say, a mucking good time.
Now, how many people are you expecting in Indianapolis?
We'll have about 2,700.
Wow, that's
Indy.
Great.
And, we had 1,100 last year, so it's a huge jump in participation.
Any chance that we'll see any mud wrestling in the future in these events? Because you know how popular that is here in the South.
I sure hope so. We highly encourage that.
Lee, what do you think?
Do you think after this you're going to have a Jell-O-a-thon?
But no, it's mud. It's a mud-a-thon.
I know, but maybe they go to a Jell-O-a-thon.
Well, I think Jell-O is a lot more. That's a lot harder than mud. No, mud is easier to make. It's a little. You throw a little water on dirt. A Jell-O-a-thon? I don't know about that. I like the mud.
I'm going to do an indoor Jell-O-a-thon series. Are you in, Jeff?
I think we'll stick with mud's
a little easier.
What about a nice gelato a thon? How about a gelato a thon for the classy people?
My nickname's the Big Mudder. I don't know.
It's got to stay with Big Mudder.
I don't know about that.
We got to stick with the Big Mudder. Well, this sounds fantastic, Jeff. These events again. If people want to get more information, they should go to mudathlon.com, and they can sign up over there. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's got all the information about our event, and they can check it all out. Lots of great pictures and descriptions of the course, and, of course, they can register, they can volunteer, or they can become a sponsor.
Wow.
So, lots of different opportunities.
Jeff, it sounds like a great event. We wish we could be there. It sounds like a lot of fun. We wish you all the best. Again, the website is mudathlon.com, and we may have to join them next year, Lee. That sounds like a great time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in to watch you run that thing.
Lee will be holding your beer when you get it.
Exactly. I'm in charge of the beer.
He'll be holding my beer, but this sounds like a blast, and wish you all the best, Jeff. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
That's Jeff Graves. He is the Big Mudder with Mudathlon. Man, these are the type of events that, you know, everybody needs to do one of these things. You know, what else is out there now? Tons of them.
There's nothing.
Muddy Buddy.
No, there's not. Just the Mudathlon.
Just the Mudathlon. But, you know, these type of events are just fantastic to be a part of. And, I'm telling you,
it's a new trend in fitness.
You're going to see the 5Ks, the 10Ks, the 20. They're going to be gone. This is the future.
Not enough stimulus.
Right. It's the same thing every week. All you're doing is going against the clock. Now, you need more. You need the Mudathlon series. I guarantee you're going to see them popping up down here in the South, too. Hopefully, they'll be in our neck of the woods next summer. So go check them out, mudathlon.com. Also, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Great book.
Yeah.
Wonderful book. Everybody should have that book. If you don't
this
have
is your
it,
last chance to get it.
If you don't, right. If you don't have it, go out and buy it right now. Or go to our website and take a look at it. It's great. I promise you. I wrote it. Who would know better?
You wrote it.
Right.
You wrote it.
I wrote most of it. I wrote most of it. I wrote most of this.
You sure are a talented guy.
I didn't write much of the first one, but the second one I wrote a lot. I know that. Yeah. I was forced to.
We'll go with that. I love this revisionist history.
All right, Lee. A couple of things before we go. What did I want to talk to you about? A couple of issues here. Let me go to my notes.
You have notes?
First, yes, I have notes. I know, I do have notes. First of all, we have Father's Day coming up this weekend. You
yes,
know that.
Absolutely.
What's going on with your Father's Day? Anything exciting?
My Father's Day, I was going to see The Hangover, but you said not to.
Do not, at all costs, do then, not see that movie. You will be disappointed.
I thought that was a nice family movie to take everybody to.
You will be disappointed. No, we both agreed upon Super 8. That's a great movie.
Right. We
go
both
see
like Super
that,
8, but I already
sure.
saw that, so I'm not going
to
see that
yeah,
again.
Yeah, wait, you save your money, because you want to go to the following week to see Captain America or Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, well, Green Lantern, I guess.
Oh, Green Lantern, you're going to want to see that.
I'm not that thrilled about
me
but,
too.
I'll probably go.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is out there.
Yeah, I don't know either. But so it's going to be movies for you for Father's Day. Any?
Yeah, that's all we do.
What you're not going paddling? Oh, by the way, did you notice that there was? I think last weekend there was a paddling event on the river.
No.
Yeah, it was like a race.
I didn't.
Like you dressed up your canoe and all that stuff and took it on the river.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was.
Sounds
I think,
like a good time for you.
No, that was for you. Yeah, like you like doing that. I read an interesting article before we go, and I know we touched briefly upon this last week, but I wanted to finish up talking about it, and it's about this trend of people running barefoot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you the whole health expo. I was at the health expo with all the old people.
Were they running barefoot?
No, but the guy that was doing that fake stability test was wearing the Vibram shoes.
Oh, that must have looked so... That must
That's
great.
All he wears now. Well, you know how you chiropractors are so crazy about these kind of... You get so obsessive about some new thing, and then all of
well,
a sudden...
That's what I wanted to talk about.
All right,
I
want
to talk about this craze, because recently this was addressed at the American College of Sports Medicine, this whole movement on the...
Barefoot running. You love that.
Well, what do you mean I love that? I love the concept, but now does it hold up?
Does it?
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
It's a yes or no.
No,
so
it's
we can
not
move
a yes
on.
Or no. It's not a yes or no. It's something that takes time to talk about. And
it sounds like you're just stalling until you find the article that
no,
you're going to steal and
I'm
talk
not
about as if you invented
it's
it.
I'm not going
to
steal.
That's what it sounds like to
I'm
me.
Going to just highlight some of the information, which I thought was very interesting. And first of all, this is, comes back to the, we had him on our show. A guy wrote the book Born to Run by Christopher McDougall.
Yes.
He was the guy who was running... With the Mexicans
right,
in the Inca
mountains,
right.
He found some guy,
and they found that they run ultra distances, and they run with shoes that barely have any support. And he had been a runner his whole life, had been hurt, and decided that
he'd
these guys don't get hurt, and he give it a shot, and all of his injuries changed his life. Right. So now here's the issue. You know, the presentation was called barefoot.
Well, we are born barefoot.
Yes.
We're not born
right.
with shoes.
This was recently in Denver. It was called the symposium. The part of the symposium was called Barefoot Running. So easy, a caveman did it. And the question that they posed was, does barefoot running increase or decrease skeletal injury risk? And the person that presented over there, his name was Dr. Student Warden, and he said it probably does both.
Wow. I hope the government paid a lot for this study.
No, it's not a study. This is at a conference.
He didn't give any information.
I'm going to elaborate. I'm going to tell you why he said that. If you give me a moment instead of jumping right to the conclusion. Well, what they're talking about here is that obviously with people who run barefoot, they change the way that they stride. Their strides are usually shorter. And the way that they put force on their feet is also different. Now, you can attest to this, Lee, because you've done this before. You probably felt this. When you're walking around barefoot, it's a different type of it's different kind of planting.
Yes.
Because, especially if you're walking outside.
Because I'm afraid I'm
going to
step
afraid
on
to get up a pebble, like yes. a little pebble. Like,
very deliberate.
Right. Yes. So it's a shorter stride. And typically, you put more weight on your forefoot than you do on the heel. Now, when people go into running shoes, what they've noticed is that people do have longer strides, and they do put more force down on their heels. And this is because of the feeling of, like, I'm supported. I can do that. And the shoe is designed to do that. It's designed. So what they did is they looked at people from Kenya, and they looked at people that normally run around barefoot versus the people that are in the urban parts of the cities. And they actually did studies, and they showed that. They actually proved that actually happens. The stride changes and where they put the force, and either the amplitude of the force changes depending upon the shoes. So what they're saying is that you can't just go from nothing to now all of a sudden, like, you can't go from wearing shoes to going barefoot.
I know, that's
and
why
not
the
expect,
Vibram is a middle ground, because
it's not a middle ground.
It is. They protect your foot. You don't have to worry about stepping on glass in the Vibram.
I know, but it's a minimal protection. If you ever worn those to run, you definitely feel something.
Right.
But the point is that the evolution of changing has occurred over time. It's too drastic a change to make. And what happens is that when you start running in these things, when you start running in the Vibram Five Fingers, is that you're still running like you're protected with, like you're wearing running shoes. So you're not really, you're going back to your old form. You're not going to this new form that you've adopted. You're going back to the old form. And what's happening is now you're running the way that you should be running, like when you're wearing running shoes with all that force, with no protection.
And that's where people get hurt.
Right. And that's where we're seeing an increase in people that are getting injured and having different injuries from all of a sudden adopting these new shoes. So the recommendations are is that if you are using these a lot of the companies now doing them. New Balance has them. Nike has some of these new shoes. You want to start doing them in little doses. Maybe the last mile of your run, you may want to break it out, but you shouldn't go from this all or nothing. And you shouldn't adopt this evangelical approach to where, oh my God, these are the greatest things. This is like,
what if I combine it with one of those magnet bracelets? Then do I escape injury?
Are you making fun?
I'm just
It
wondering.
Sounds like you're making fun
just
now.
Wondering.
I don't believe in these magnet braces. I don't know why you think I do. I wear one because I think it looks good.
Okay, we'll go with
it's
that.
It's more of a fashion thing than a magnet.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Do I have one on right now?
Are you running right now?
No, I'm not. I can run right now. No magnets.
It would probably throw your balance off if you ran
without
it.
And here's the other thing. I don't wear the Vibram Five Fingers.
I'm surprised.
I wear running shoes. I'm not going to that
theory. Conventional.
Right. They didn't convince me, so I'm sticking with my ASICS Gel Nimbus 12s or 11s. For that matter.
Good information.
Now,
doctor.
What did you want to know? You had something want to talk about? That's what you were. No, there was something.
No, I went to a health expo and I was working.
You went to a health expo, which
I volunteered at.
Oh, look at that. Helping the community.
Right.
People don't know this about the fat guy. He's very philanthropic.
Yes.
With his time and his money.
Right. And so I'm there with a chiropractor and he's got one of those balance testing things. You're familiar with those, right? Stand on and you close your eyes and it tells you if you're going to fall down or not in some future date.
Well,
it's kind of like a Ouija board.
No, but
if you stood on a Ouija board, listen, it'd be a similar experience.
If this device it gives you an input into your proprioception, how well you stay balanced.
Right.
The number one thing that kills people when they get older is what?
Falling down.
Falling down. So I think
the problem I had with this, I don't think this device mimics what a person feels, because typically they don't stand on a pillow with their eyes closed. Now, if that was your day-to-day life, I could see how this would test.
Is that what they were doing? They were standing on a pillow?
Or some padded, foam padded thing.
Okay.
And then
what happens?
Closing your eyes for 30 seconds, and guess what? They feel disoriented, and then they get a low score.
Well, what probably happens is they move in a certain pattern. Right. There's a certain, they're either moving back and forth, oscillating back and forth or side to side.
And it's checking that. And then he's giving you a score based on how stable you are.
Okay. Did you do this?
No.
How come you didn't do it?
Because it was ridiculous. That's why.
It
was ridiculous.
You don't think you should get scored on how well you stay balanced?
With my eyes closed on a pillow. I don't think that information is going to help me know if I'm going to fall down or not.
How do you, what's the correlation? How do you know? Have you seen the information?
I saw 70 people go through the test, and I saw the guy who had the highest score of the day, even higher than the guy giving the test, was a guy that was probably 6'8 and 400 pounds. And he had
so
the
he's not at risk of falling.
Of course not. And that's because he weighed so much, the foam pillow was irrelevant for him. He might as well have been standing on the ground because he pushed it all the way down to the ground. So therefore, he got the highest score because he didn't move an inch.
Okay.
So I have a little problem with that. That didn't make sense to me.
You're saying there was a little unfair advantage.
I thought that.
So here, it sounds like the more you weigh,
the better your balance is.
The better your balance is. Okay.
Does that make sense to you? Are you buying that?
I don't know what you're talking about, so it's hard for me to visualize what's taking place, but I know that for a fact that if there is something that measures vestibular, your balance, if there is something that's out there that can check that, the number one thing that's killing people when they get older is not,
I know, but the people who failed this test were 2/3 of the people who took the test. Got a failing score.
Maybe that's a sign of how important chiropractic is.
Maybe it's a sign of maybe they should get follow-up treatment.
That's a great test.
Probably a coincidence.
That's a great little test there. I like that.
Exactly.
Everybody who does it needs me, man. I like that.
Just 2/3.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, wow. So that was my experience.
Were they selling any pills and potions or anything like that?
No. This guy, he was funny. He had a different kind of sales pitch, but it was funny.
Any other wackos at this?
No, this was most of the people were like skin cancer checks and cholesterol. They had blood.
They do a run at like a 5K or something like that.
It was.
They got rid of that.
It was in a hospital. No, the run is this Saturday. Actually,
it's a different weekend.
Well, it's the whole week of this is Men's Health Week.
Oh, like Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it takes a week.
Oh, like Mardi Gras. Right. So are they doing any beads? Giving away beads?
No, I'm sure you can get one of those rubber bracelets you like so much.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. Well, very good. Well, where can people go? Can they find out more information about this?
No. It's a secret.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to promote it.
No.
No. Men's health. We don't really care about men's health. It was women's health.
And kids' health.
Lee, did I tell you about the guy who invented the Pringles can?
No, you did not.
Frederick Bauer... he's the guy who came up with the idea from Procter & Gamble to stack chips uniformly rather than toss them in a bag.
Yes, because of the Dove soap.
Did you know that? I don't know if it was the Dove soap.
Yes, the Dove soap machine that makes Dove soap in that shape. He said, hey, we can put
potato goo
in there and then make them into stackable things. So that way they'll be all the same uniform size and we can put them in these cool cans.
Apparently he died last month and his kids buried his 89-year-old ashes in one of those iconic cans.
Wow.
That's
a good story. I like that.
That was his big claim to fame, was that...
you could put my ashes in this Hershey's can.
He was an aviation pilot in the Navy. He was also... He had a PhD in organic chemistry. This guy was a smart guy. This guy wasn't... this guy knew what he was doing. But apparently that was his biggest claim was in packaging engineering, I guess. And I think that was the thing that, we're big fans of Pringles, right?
Yeah. Any type of chip. I like the whole
taste, but the taste of Pringles is, I really like those.
I like chips in general.
Which is your favorite chip out there for you? What's your go-to chip?
I like the whole Ito family, Dorito, Tostito, Cheeto.
I'm talking about potato chip. Not
I don't
corn
discern.
Chips.
I don't discern potato.
If
corn,
you're
going to
go
I'm
with
equal
potato, all right. What's your favorite chip? I don't care what kind of chip.
Doritos.
What flavor? Cool Ranch.
No, I hate Cool Ranch. Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese is your go-to
classic.
Classic
or Cheetos? I like Cheetos.
Not a word. I just want to know what your favorite of all time. Fritos. So that's over like Munchos and Funyuns.
Munchos? I don't even know what that is.
Munchos
Funyuns,
is a brand of chip.
No, I don't
it's a
like
potato
onions.
Chip.
No, don't
Funyuns
like that.
You don't like?
No.
Okay. What about the long stick potato sticks? You don't like
I
those?
I like
either?
Those in my Cuban steak sandwich.
Okay. All right. So that's your out of all the chips. My favorite is those
I'd like
burnt.
Pop chips if they paid us. They'd rocket up the list. If they would write us a check, I would be a huge pop chips fan.
What about those? They're like kind of brown. They're brown chips. They're kind of like
Fritos?
Almost burnt. No, I forgot the name of them.
Pork rinds.
There's a company that makes them.
Brown burnt chips.
Yeah, I'll have to get there. Cape Cod. I think it's Cape Cod.
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's a type rusted.
Rusted chips. Yeah,
I have never. Heard
That's
of
my
that.
Favorite one. They're real, real crunchy, almost to the point where they're like burnt. I love those. Those are my favorites.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So, all right, Lee, that's all I have today. I want to thank our guests for coming on the show today. Jeff Graves, Mudathlon, the Big Mudder. Go check them out at Mudathlon. Don't only check them out. Go sign up. If you're going to be, not even if you're going to be up in the
airfare's cheap.
In the Indianapolis area or Ohio, Chicago area, just fly up there and do the event. It's a lot of fun. Take the whole family and look, if you got any teenage boys, they may get another education too, right, Lee? That's something.
He said the parking lot is rated R.
Right. But the event is PG, parking lots are. Listen, it might be a lot of fun. Who knows? Go check them out again, mudathlon.com, and also go check out our website, drfitnessandthefatguy.com, and go on our Facebook page and become one of our friends. Right now, because time is running out, where we are, what's it out right now, Lee? How many friends do we have?
I haven't checked.
700 and something?
Easy.
We're cutting it off at a million.
Yes.
So right now, it's the best time to get in and become one of our fans.
It's a ground floor opportunity.
Also, go on Twitter. Follow me at DrFitness6. Follow the fat guy at fat guy. And that's all we got today. Remember, every week, we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.